And welcome to this week's episode of the Blank Page to Bestseller podcast. I am your host, Peter Wheatmartian, and this week we have a great episode. First off, we begin with our Biz Buzz segment. Colleen and KZ join me as we talk about the rise in popularity of print books. Print books have really begun to take off again in the sales department, and we talk a little bit about that, about the reasoning behind that, and just some of our love for print books. Then in our second segment today, Colleen is joined by a book designer, graphic designer, Pat Creedon, and she interviews Pat about her her job as a book designer, what she has learned as a book designer, and how she can help authors really turn their story into the book of their dreams. So we have a great two-part episode for you on this week's Blank Page to Bestseller podcast. And as always, please be sure to like and subscribe to the show wherever you are listening to the podcast. And if you have a fellow friend, a writer, an author, someone who would enjoy this show, please be sure to let them know about the show. We'd love to have some more fellow writers and authors join us on the show. So enjoy this week's episode. And up first, here is our Biz Buzz segment. And welcome to this week's Biz Buzz segment. I'm Peter Wheatmartian, and I am joined, as always, by Colleen and KZ. And we have a fun little discussion coming up for you all today. KZ, last week, pointed out a couple of fun statistics to us, and they are all about the popularity of print books. I know in the past few episodes we've talked about ebooks and audiobooks, which are definitely gaining in popularity, but we don't want to forget our good friend the print book. And actually it sounds like the print book is quite popular still, and actually probably gaining in popularity even when you compare it to ebooks and audiobooks. So first of all, thank you, KZ, for pointing out this topic, because I think this is a great topic. But let me take a quick little just the very high level view over it, just to say how popular print books are. In 2022, just under 800 million copies of printed books were sold in the U.S. alone.
Amazing, Peter. Amazing.
Okay, so let's take a quick, like, high-level math here. There's, like, about 350 people in the U.S., so that's almost three books sold per person. That's printed books per person.
When you said 350 people in the U.S., did you mean 350 million?
I did.
Oh.
No, there's only 350 of us.
That's a lot of books for 350 people.
Yeah. So, I mean, think of that, though. You know, three books per person are bought, three printed books per person are bought. And we know that, you know, like I said before, ebooks and audiobooks are popular. So you can definitely tell how popular books in general are. But it's great to see the growth in printed books. Just taking off of that. That stat of just under 800 million copies, they say that it's the second highest number of printed books sold in a year, just behind the year before it, 2021. So that's great.
That's amazing.
So just because we're talking about this, let me ask both of you, Colleen, do you read books, printed books, or do you prefer ebooks, or do you have a preference?
I would rather hold a book in my hand and print, have the printed copy, because as I'll talk about a little bit, I can retain more information. I don't feel distracted, but I love printed books.
Hazy?
I love books in any format. I listen to them. I read them on ebook on my computer. I occasionally read them on my phone. Not very often. It's too darn hard. But I definitely read them in print. Print is my favorite because of the ability to just feel it.
Mm-hmm. Also, let me add in here. The ebooks are very nice when you're going and traveling, like if you're on a plane or you have limited ability to pack things. So ebooks are great for me. I like them that way because then you don't have 20 books you want to take or whatever.
Yeah, you need to get another seat on the plane to take your books.
Oh yeah, that is a great advantage of ebooks. You know, I'll say I personally, in the last probably 2 or 3 years myself, have started to go back to print books. You know, I've been, well, it's been about 2 or 3 years ago, Colleen and I ran a little book club, and we started out doing pretty much ebooks, but, I think both of us by the end of it started buying a copy of the book itself. And one reason that I like to do it is because I get to go to the bookstore. Who doesn't love going to the bookstore and looking at all the books and, you know, picking out a book and, you know, the fresh book smell.
I love that feeling. You're right, Peter. Mm-hmm. It's something that's an experience I think that everyone needs to have.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I think, I don't want to take this into too much of a separate topic, but, you know, I think part of this too is the resurgence, if you will, of more local bookstores, or, you know, the focus on local bookstores. You know, people love to go in and support local businesses. And I think one of the best ways to do that is to go out and buy a print book.
Yeah. I love looking at the books in the bookstore, the library, you know, the covers, the back covers, the cover image. It just says a lot. And there's just something about holding that book and looking, but browsing. And I really hope that the physical bookstores stay and start growing again.
For sure.
One of the things that I like when I travel, when I have the time to spend in a bookstore, is look for a used bookstore. I think those are amazing places to be. And they're local, and there's almost always one someplace near wherever you're traveling. But they're sometimes hard to find, but I sure do like those.
Oh, there's a great, it's like an old used and antique bookstore near the University of Cincinnati where we're near. And just walking through and seeing all the books from whether they're 20 years old or 120 years old is so cool to see the different, it's almost like a timeline of books when you go in there.
It is.
Yeah. And you know, I think one thing that we, want to definitely point out is kind of the reasoning behind the growth in print books. So right now, what we're seeing is there's probably close to 100 million or more copies of print books being sold per year compared to a big event that just happened 4 years ago where the world shut down in the COVID era. So everyone was stuck inside. And I think that really helped grow or bring back the popularity of books in general, but print books as well. I don't know about either of you. Did you guys spend any time reading during that?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time, especially when that's when we did our book club. But I love getting away from work, away from the everything, and just being taken away in a book. Just love it. Mm-hmm.
That's something that we share, and is probably why each of us has gravitated to this business over time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think reading is probably the big factor that unites us all.
Yep.
Oh man. So one final stat I do want to point out is that. And this is just a percentage. So 2020 and 2021 were the biggest years for print sales, where the sales actually jumped over 11% in the first year and over 9% in 2021. So, I mean, you can see the growth of books is just is skyrocketing. And, you know, we don't have the most recent year's numbers. You know, it always takes a year or two for all that to come out. But, you know, I'm excited to see where print books are going in the future.
I am too. And, you know, Peter, I'd love to hear, I know Colleen has done some research on this. What's the real reason? What is it that we get out of print books over any other format?
Oh, wow. There's a lot. They say you really absorb more information when you're reading, having that physical book in your hands, and just really take in more. And they like the tactile sensation of it. People just love it. And also, there was a study done in 2014 in Italy, which is very interesting. And they did a study of college students, and 92% of the participants preferred actual books that they could hold and touch and leaf through whenever they wanted to. And Slovakian students in particular said they liked the smell of the books. And there were scientists who actually analyzed the chemical components of the old books and found that pages, they contained vanilla, hints of vanilla, and as well as like earthy smells, like grassy notes, that type of thing. So I thought that was really cool.
That explains why I like going into an old bookstore.
Yeah. They said it's like the enjoyment of smelling perfumes or flowers. So that study was pretty cool, I think.
For sure. Yeah.
That's a great one. You know, and I know like smell is probably one of the bigger memory triggers too. So I'm sure there's a lot of, a lot of things tied into that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I just remember when I was a kid, I can just remember this going back to the library. It was during probably all year, but during the summer, I remember it most, going to the books or the library, getting about as many Beverly Cleary books that I could handle and taking them home. And just loving to read. I've loved to read ever since I was a small, you know, kid, like probably 7, 8, maybe before that. But I would finish those books in no time at all. And I really think that, and yes, it could be anybody reading, but reading when you're a child, I believe, helps you become a better reader and enjoying it more. And maybe that's how I learned how to proofread, because I'd start finding things that were incorrect in books. But they say that children become better readers really when their parents have a physical book and read it to them versus an ebook. They don't pay attention as much with the ebook.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's an interesting stat. And of course, our children, and not just our children, but generations, there are several generations at this point. I don't know if there's several, but yeah, I think there are several generations that are more comfortable in the digital read than the print read. So that's an important distinction, that children need to still be read to from physical books.
Right. Right. And you know what? Actually, when you read from a book, a physical book, it's easier on your eyes than actually reading it from an ebook. But also, for me personally, anyway, since I'm on the computer all day working, that really the last thing I want to do is go and read from a tablet or something at night, because I've been on the computer all day.
That's an interesting concept. I think that for me, there is a definite distinction. When I pick up a print book, it's almost always a read for fun, not a read for work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 And one other thing that I read is that you're less distracted by a physical book because, you know, the ebooks, they'll have links that you can go to find out more information about something. So you get away from the actual book. And then also, it's very interesting that you just become, you know, you're more distracted on the tablet if you have all your apps going, or if you get notifications from email, or you want to go and check something out on Facebook. So are you really understanding the story? Does that make sense? Like, do you have to go back 3 or 4 pages in order to find out what you really are reading?
Absolutely. I mean, you've got the whole concept behind reading books, especially fiction, but even nonfiction, is you have to suspend your disbelief. Mm-hmm. And when that's broken, you have to get that back. You lose mm-hmm. that focus.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
There's a stat that you always bring up, Colleen, is it's something like every time you're distracted, it takes about, 10 or 15 minutes for your mind to switch back into like work mode or reading mode or whatever. So if you're being distracted, you know, once or twice every other minute, you know, it's going to be a lot harder for you to, you know, grasp what you're reading.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I want to kind of just jump on that too, as I know people in my generation and even kind of younger, yeah, we do spend a lot of time on the phone, you know, or on our computers and all of that. But there's been a big recent push recently towards getting away from the algorithms that are, you know, controlling our lives. So I think reading actual physical books is a great way for us to kind of, you know, separate ourselves from, you know, the Twitter feed or the TikTok feed or whatever it is, and, you know, focus in on something that's, you know, actual real life, you know, a real life book. So I think that's also probably part of the reason why we're seeing a growth in print books.
Yeah. All good stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm glad to see that we're having a growth in print books. I'm glad to see that, you know, people are reading more. Is there anything that we haven't talked about yet today, ladies, that you want to talk about with print books?
I just have kind of a fun story when we're ready to end it or whatever, if you'd like to hear it.
Yeah, go ahead.
So recently I've been starting to watch shows that are old shows, fun shows, comedy shows. So a few weeks ago, I started watching The Middle. I don't know if either of you watched that at all, but I hadn't really watched it when it was on TV. And if you know The Middle, the show, there's the third kid in the family, and his name's Brick, and he absolutely loves reading. Like, he has a book in front of him all the time. And it was just funny because he didn't really connect with other people like sometimes, but he just always had a book in his hand and it was reading, and it would really irritate his family sometimes because they're like, you need to go do something else. But he just loved reading, and it was just fun mm-hmm. to see his growth through the years of the comedy of the show, of how he grew. And then there was a real surprise at the end of the show about how books really did affect his life. So I thought that was fun. Mm-hmm.
That's a great story. You know, just because we're talking about TV shows, it made me kind of think, if any of you have watched the Ted Lasso show on Apple TV, it's great because they have a running theme throughout of books. If you look in the background, people are reading books. They give books as presents to the team, and they're all print books. So I thought that was pretty cool. So, you know, yeah, I think there's a definite trend towards the popularity of print books.
And, you know, it's interesting. It doesn't seem, this is something that I wanted to bring up, Peter, and this is probably the last comment I have as far as the anything new goes. It's interesting that the cost of the book, the printed book, doesn't seem to be as critical as you might think. Mm-hmm. Amazon recently, not Amazon, sorry, KDP recently raised their prices for what the cost is for to actually print a book. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's actually a pretty significant raise as far as authors are concerned, because of course the commission rate is the same. So they're still earning their commission, their royalty, but they no longer have as large a margin. Mm-hmm. So for instance, if a book that was costing me $3 to print, okay, 2 years ago, it's now costing me at least $5 to print. Okay. So it's gone up significantly. And that cost has to be passed on. Mm-hmm. And it is. I'm seeing prices are higher on print books now than they used to be, but it doesn't seem to make any difference at all in the volume of books being purchased, especially and hard copy. You wouldn't think so, but people like to have a hard copy book to put on their shelves.
Oh, for sure. I love my bookshelf. We actually have a big bookshelf down in the office that's filled with different business books and a lot of books that we've done in our book club. But then I also have my own personal bookshelf, which is just as big and filled with just as many crazy, fun, silly, interesting, weird books. And I think that's something that'll never go away. Is, I mean, who doesn't love having who doesn't have the dream of having a room that's just nothing but bookshelves filled with real actual books?
I do.
I always wanted there in our living room, I was always trying to talk Steve into getting that, where the two bookcases on the end of, you know, between your couch, or, you know, having that kind of setup. I always wanted that.
I want a room that has a sliding ladder that you have to use to get to the top of the bookshelf.
Oh, I want one of those too.
Well, you know, I definitely want to thank both of you for talking about print books with us today. You know, it's been a good, fun conversation. I just want to remind my listeners, or our listeners, that I'm actually using a real print book right now to read a book, and I'm going to have a book review coming out I want to make sure I have the right date here for you, for the 9th of April. So that would be the week after this comes out. I'll have a book review, and it is Killers of the Flower Moon, which is a book that came out a few years ago and is recently turned into a movie, and it won a couple of awards at during award season. So that's why I wanted to pick it, because it's a good movie, and it's an even better book that I've been working through. So please catch that later, and thanks again for listening in.
I'll add another plug.
Make
sure you catch that review, because Peter does a really good book review.
This episode of the Blank Page to Bestseller podcast is brought to you by us, The Author's Voice. The Author's Voice is the premier online training platform for authors, speakers, and entrepreneurs looking to add a new revenue stream to their business. Whether you're an author looking to publish your book, or an administrative assistant looking to expand your business by working with authors and speakers, we have the training programs to help you become a certified publishing professional. You can learn more about The Author's Voice on our website, theauthorsvoice.org, or please follow our social media at Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. You can find links to all of those places in the show notes.
Hello, and welcome to Blank Page to Bestseller. Today we have Pat Creedon with us. She's a designer, interior and cover designer, and as a creative at an agency where the clients were well-known brands such as Barilla, Hellman's, Goya, and Johnson & Johnson, Pat gained a lot of experience designing impactful communications to grow those brands. Today, Pat is the president and founder of Pat Creedon Design. She provides entrepreneurs and small business owners with that same expertise, so they benefit even if they are not nationally known. And Pat wants her clients to show how they successfully serve their clients by giving them the advantage of high quality graphic design. And first off, Pat, I want to say that I have used all of these products at one time or another, like probably most people who've been on the show or listening to the show will realize they have too. But now when I pick up a jar of Barilla sauce or Barilla pasta or something, or a Hellman's product, I will keep you in my mind and say, "Pat designed those." So I think that's really fun. So how did you get started in book design? What made you want to do that?
Well, when I started my business, the first thing I did was go to networking groups. And one of the first people I met was a ghostwriter who owned a marketing company in the next town. And he took my card, I took his, and that was the end of that. I didn't go back to that networking group. I just went home and did some other things, joined like other networking groups, etc. And then I hear from him a little while later, and I was at that point in my business, I was finding that freelancing at various companies wasn't working for me because they kept wanting to hire me, and one of them did. So I went to a full-time job for a while there. He got in touch and he said, do you design books? And at that point, I was working at Ethan Allen headquarters, and they were having me design some very long form documents. You know, they have these catalogs and things and style books. So I said, yes, I figured I could translate that that expertise over to book design. And it worked out really well because he kept sending me to all these clients of his that he was ghostwriting for. And I was designing book after book. And there were charts and graphs. They were mostly wealth managers. So they had all kinds of charts and graphs. And I was designing that as well, and their covers. And a lot of them were full color books inside and out. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. And so I kept up with it.
That's really cool. And I forgot to mention earlier that Pat designed the interiors for Platform for Wealth and the United Pilots Flight Plan for Wealth. And they were both done by Paul J. Carroll, a Houston-based wealth manager. So you can go on Amazon and check that out. But Pat, I wanted to ask you too, is there a special program you use for the interior of your book? I mean, is it InDesign or some other software that you use?
I use InDesign. I have a monthly subscription to all the Adobe products that helped me with that, Illustrator and Photoshop as well. And it's worked out well. So it's a great program for that.
That's really cool. I've thought about this past winter, I wanted to learn InDesign so I could maybe start doing this, but it just didn't happen yet. How hard? It's pretty intense to learn that, isn't it?
Yes. And for all those years that I was working at that agency where I was working with the big brands, I was working with another software program. And so we were slowly transitioning over to InDesign. But then after I left that job, actually, I learned it on the job at Ethan Allen, which was a great benefit of working there. Mm-hmm. And so I really got to be the expert there. And people would come to me with all their InDesign problems after a while. So,
well, that's cool. It is fun to always keep learning and know new things. It's just taking the time to do it. But that's great that you had that experience and then people came to you.
Yes.
Yeah, very cool. So from your perspective, what do you think makes a great cover from a design point of view? You know, do you think an author should choose a cover design that's consistent with the interior design? What aspects of the cover and interior do you think should be the same or similar? Some, you know, stuff like that. What do you consider that?
Well, when I'm designing the book cover, I'm really thinking about what would attract the reader most. And if there are certain fonts that the author wants used, for instance, that go with their brand, I can do that, of course. Mm-hmm. But it's mostly about the color and design and graphics to attract attention. Then on the inside, if I can bring one of those fonts to the inside, for instance, for the chapter headings or for subheads, then that's a benefit. But I don't necessarily feel constrained by that because there's certain fonts that look better and are more readable for the main text.
That's really cool. Now, do you ever use the rule of thirds for your cover design at all?
Well, I actually don't.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I just thought it is.
Yeah, I just go by instinct.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah. You're not, like you said, you're not constructed or, you know, follow not the rules, but you do what you want and it makes it look good, professional. And that's all that matters, really. Yeah. Yeah. So do you design mostly nonfiction or fiction books, and what genres, or does it matter to you? Do you do both?
Well, it doesn't really matter, but I have most experience doing business books. Obviously, the wealth managers wanted to talk about their businesses for the most part. And then I segued from that into more self-help books and anthologies. And lately, I have been getting more fiction. So that's kind of cool.
That is funny. And I hear that the fiction genre is really booming. booming. Everybody wants to write one. Yeah. Awesome. We do mostly nonfiction also, but we've done, as far as helping the authors, we've done some children's books. So those are fun to do and help people get out. So here's a pretty deep question. I have my own opinion about AI, but what's your opinion about using AI for cover design, not to do it all, but to create elements of the design or beginning thoughts? So what do you think about that?
Well, Photoshop is one of the programs I use, and they offer an AI feature now. And so I was playing around with it in the last cover I was designing, and it was kind of disappointing, really. I didn't find that it had anything like what I needed that cover to look like. So now I haven't used it much, and I'm not sure I'm going to be using it much.
Yeah, I feel the same way about just for different reasons, a creative design, the creative intellectual of the human being, and I know a lot of people use it for ideas or whatever, but that also, I think, takes the creative away, just in my point of view. But I know that AI is here, it's going to stay. So got to look into at least what it does but you don't have to use it. It doesn't. Not necessarily a given for everybody. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely.
Yeah. So here's a couple fun questions I'm going to ask you. So if you were going to write a book, what would you write your book about?
I think I would probably write a book about helping people grow businesses with an emphasis on the design aspect of their brand.
I think that's cool. That's cool. One of our mottos is that for authors is you can making your book your business, helping them make their book their business. Because as we all know, you can't just write a book, put money into your book and the time, and then just sit it on Amazon or something. You've got to market it and get it out there and put yourself out there. And that's another thing that you do for your clients. Also, you do branding, logos, that type of thing. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. That was mostly what I was doing in my previous jobs. I was working with their brand colors, their fonts, their look, because these big brands, they have very specific requirements for those areas. So anything I designed had to fit their brand. And so I bring that expertise to the smaller businesses that are either starting out and need a logo and a website and the whole thing, or to those that want a brand refresh, or just want more materials that reflect their brand, whether it's an email or whether it's PDFs or whether it's printed materials. So,
yeah. Okay, cool. What about, and you also help with websites, that type of thing, design. What do you do, or how do you help people brand, like choose the colors and do that type of thing? How do you help them do that or give them examples? What goes into that?
Well, for instance, I worked with a professional organizer who had come from a corporate background. He wanted to start his own business. And so he sent me some examples of the kinds of looks that he didn't like and the kinds of looks that he did. And I picked from that some of the colors that he was leaning towards and also just the overall look and feel, and designed a logo for him. And his business has been thriving ever since. This was about 6 years ago. So
that's really cool. And I think that's a great thing that you do. It's really important. Have the people or your potential clients or clients send you what they do like, as far as colors go, as far as design goes, and what they don't like. And then that helps you as a designer not start blank, not just start from scratch with nothing.
Exactly. Yes. Definitely helps narrow it down.
Yeah. Do you ever use, I remember when we were doing branding years ago or help, having somebody help us with branding, do you ever ask questions about or go through these colors mean this or this color means that, you know, red, I don't know if it used to mean angry or, you know, really bold, that type of thing. So do you do any of that kind of thing?
Only if it's requested. I do have information on that. But generally speaking, for instance, I've been helping a meditation teacher, and she's veering towards the purples and the soft colors of that realm. And I think that's perfect for her. And so I think people automatically are drawn to colors that reflect what they're about and what they like.
Yeah, yeah. And it's important for their personality to come out also.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. That's very, very cool. So far we've discussed a bunch of things, but is there anything that we haven't talked about that you'd like to share?
Well, let me see. There's probably something. How I'm different, I guess. I don't talk in a lot of jargon. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that makes me a better communicator. Some people tend to talk in terms of their particular industry's jargon, and it confuses clients. So I try to speak in normal speak for people who are not familiar with any of the jargon to do with what I do. And right. I don't expect them to be.
Yeah. And that's really important, because I do some speaking engagements. And yeah. In one of my talks, I talk about having clear language, like, you know, making it clear in language. I did an acronym with CLEAR, and it was being concise, the language you use. And I talked about jargon, because if you use jargon and someone doesn't know what it's about, they're not going to understand that. So that's a really good aspect of bringing out and letting people know that, you know, like one talk we did to a wedding planner, wedding person. And I was using, like, I learned some information, like MOB is mother of the bride, or, you know, boots, like boutonnieres, like, I would never have known that if I hadn't done the research. So it's really, yeah, it's nice to know and not use the jargon, even though you're familiar with it, if you're in that industry or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 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 yeah. So what do you think, or is there anything you wish your younger self knew about what you're doing today?
Well, I think I would love my younger self to have known that when you go into a business, you are a marketer. No matter what business you're in, you would better market yourself, or you're not going to get very far.
That is so true. And I think that is one of the hardest things for me to do. Because we learn not to talk about ourselves, or, you know, not brag about ourselves, but, you know, put ourselves out there. But it's really important to market and get out to networking events, find people. And one of the groups I belong to is it's a women's networking group. You could check it out if you ever wanted to. It's online and in person, but online for people who aren't around, you know, all over the United States, or some are in Europe, that type of thing. But how it's important to sell through the room. You don't want to sell to the room. You want to sell through the room. And then people aren't thinking that you're just there to get their business, or, you know, have them get your business, you know, that type of thing. So that's really kind of a cool thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that term, sell through the room. You mean connect with their connections,
right? Like, what is your perfect person that, you know, you know, someone could refer to you, or that type of thing. But yeah, I can send you that information if you'd like. It's the Evolve Women's Network. And it's a great, great women's network to network with. So I could send you that information if you'd like. Yeah.
Sure. I'd love it.
Yeah. Okay. So here's a big one. So what do you think is the biggest challenge that your industry is facing today?
I guess that my industry tends to have a lot of competition worldwide these days. And because one of our advantages is that we can work virtually over the internet with anyone anywhere, but that also means that we will have competition from overseas or anywhere in the world. And I think that has discouraged a lot of graphic designers in this country, and they've quit graphic design and gone on to other careers. I mean, one of them's doing data entry now, a very talented designer. And I'm like, oh, no. And yeah, it's a challenge, for sure.
Is that because of the price point
difference? Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I lost my first business because of that. Mm-hmm. My first business was medical transcription company, and everybody, you know, they sent it out, and those people were charging a quarter of what I could pay or charge just to break even almost, you know? Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, virtually is good. Worldwide's good, but it does have its disadvantages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let me see. Oh, this is a good one. So what's something everyone in your industry should stop or start doing?
They should stop being discouraged, and they should start using their talents and realizing their value and put it out there. Because that's we have valuable. A lot of value. We have a lot of talent in this country, and we should be putting it out there and marketing ourselves as well as we can.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's great. That is great information. And it's true. Again, it goes back to kind of marketing yourself and not being confident enough to do it and putting themselves out there. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's really cool. That's really cool. Well, Pat, can you tell people how they can get a hold of you if they'd like to chat or follow you online? How can they reach you?
Well, you can go to patcredendesign.com. That's my website. Or you can give me a call, 203-252-0909. Or you can email me at patricia@patcredendesign.com. Or you can follow me and connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm often on there. So that pretty much covers it.
Yeah, you're pretty much all over the place, which is great. And we'll add those notes into that information into our notes for the podcast. And I wanted to thank you so much for jumping on with me today and talking. I think this was a great conversation and I learned a lot. And congratulations for all of your work and your history and what you've done. Just great information.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been great. I really enjoyed talking with you.
Great. Thank you. Well, take care, everybody. We will talk to you soon. Bye.
Podcast is a production of The Author's Voice. I have been your host, Peter Wheatmartian, and I want to thank KZ and Colleen for joining me on this episode to discuss all things writing, publishing, and speaking. Do you have questions about today's topic or would like to be a guest on a future episode? You can learn more about The Author's Voice on our website, theauthorsvoice.org, or send our team an email at info@theauthorsvoice.org. You can stay in touch with Candy, Colleen, and Peter through The Author's Voice on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Links to all of those can be found in the show notes. If you have enjoyed the episode, please be sure to subscribe and leave a review on the podcast app of your choice. Also, please help us spread the word about the Blank Page to Bestseller podcast by sharing the episode on your social media or by introducing a friend, a colleague, an author, or anyone who would enjoy the discussion to the show.